All right, we're now here with Jack Mab from, you're the Columbia County Public Health Director, is that your title?
Yes, I am. Indeed.
And so can you tell us what is the latest with the COVID-19 or coronavirus?
Well, the latest that we've heard is it is now in 73 nations. By comparison, last week, Friday, it was 46. So it's spreading pretty rapidly. It's what we would call a successful virus in terms of moving around the country. We heard numbers this morning that there was 120 cases in America. Of course, 9 deaths has already been reported. So it's moving fairly quickly. We have clear instances of community acquisition. In New York, we have a gentleman in Westchester County who is in pretty serious condition. That prompted them to close schools down there. We learned earlier today that his two sons have it and a neighbor are now positive for it. So again, that's community acquisition.
Wife too, right?
Yes, and the wife as well. And the disturbing thing about that gentleman is that before he was diagnosed, he was taking public transportation back and forth to work. So we do have instances, we have proof that it's community acquired, and here's somebody who's on a very crowded subway or whatever.
And he also went to temple services and a bat mitzvah and a funeral, I believe, too. So you're going to run into lots of people at those events.
Lots of potential exposure, and the CDC has determined initially it was droplet exposure, which essentially is somebody has to cough or sneeze on you. Now they're talking about airborne, which means that, it could be just somebody who's nearby, who's breathing the same air and whatever. And so it is concerning. It's not a reason to panic, to go into shift into high panic. It's a reason to be vigilant and to wash your hands, to be careful around sick people, and certainly to the advice of people who are ill, don't go to work. But that's always the advice we give folks. It's much of the community mitigation that you can do is the same stuff as you do with flu.
And so there's 6 cases overall in New York State so far, 0 in Columbia County. Are there any people that you're testing, or what is the situation in Columbia County right now?
We have not tested anybody. We don't test. The CDC, State Health Department, are going to determine if somebody's appropriate for testing. And those guidelines haven't changed anything. They look for fever, respiratory symptoms, and a travel history. Or fever, respiratory symptoms, and contact with somebody who is known to have the virus. So those things haven't changed, and we haven't had anybody. We did have a couple that traveled through northern Italy over the winter break, and they returned, and they were husband in that relationship was somewhat sick. Respiratory issues, the CDC determined that he was not somebody that should be tested. So we haven't had anybody tested in Columbia County to date. We do have one individual who just today, as of today, is voluntarily quarantining at home, who traveled through Italy, but who is non-symptomatic at this point.
And so only one person so far that is self-quarantined in Columbia County.
Yes.
And I think I read that you have been looking at sites where if people can't self-quarantine, that you can quarantine people in groups?
Well, no, so right from the beginning, going back to early January, we were told to find a location in the county where an individual who was positive, tested positive, could be isolated and quarantined. And that would only apply if the individual's home was inappropriate. Because, obviously everybody wants to be home when they're sick. And the way it's inappropriate is if the other individuals in the family, the children and the spouse, couldn't be isolated enough from that individual to pass the virus on. For instance, one bathroom, a very tiny apartment. So we were directed, and this goes back to early January, all state health departments were directed to go out and find a site in the community where we could have a bedroom that separate this individual from their family. You can imagine that's a very difficult thing to do. And we did have a number of sites that we looked at, a number of sites that we talked to, and again, all of those places did not pan out. The individuals begged off, and I think there's a certain amount of fear here involved, taking somebody ill into their home, into their building. The other option we have is that we can isolate the family. We can isolate well people. And so that would only require us to use a hotel and put people up for the 14 weeks of the period that we want them to be away from the sick family member. We do have one site we're looking at as of right now that may that has some promise. But again, the issue here is people want to, they want to be home when they're sick. And the individuals who, up until now, who have been, who could potentially be positive, are individuals who've traveled. And so there's a certain socio and economic level there. If you're traveling, if you're spending time in China or in Italy or whatever like that. And so they're not going to want to get put up at a prison or, you know, a closed school or something like that. So it's all counties have reported difficulty with that.
So as we move forward, so first, can you give me the basics? The COVID-19, is that the name, or coronavirus? It's a type of coronavirus, just like the common cold is a type of coronavirus.
Yes,
is that?
And I think that's important for people to understand. You know, coronaviruses have been around forever, and we're constantly exposed to them, and they do give us the cold. And this started out, they were using the word novel in front of it because it's new. It's a new. It's a new version of a coronavirus, and coronaviruses do change with time, and you know they do assail us, and we get sick from them. But this is brand new. It doesn't appear that you acquire an immunity after having it, and that's another thing that
you can get it again.
You can get it. That's what the CDC is telling us. That's possible.
So take me through the steps. Last week I had a head cold. It was a pretty bad head cold. It only seemed to be. You know, I had congestion and some headaches, not really fever. I probably didn't have the coronavirus.
Yeah, I don't think you had a coronavirus.
So how can people tell if, because there's plenty of colds and flus going around this year, it's been a particularly bad flu year, how can you tell what the difference is?
Well, the only way you're going to tell is by testing. The symptoms of the coronavirus is pretty much identical to the flu. The critical thing for the CDC so far has been the fever. 83% of the individuals who are positive for the coronavirus have a fever, spike of fever, and they have the travel history.
I've read some anecdotal reports of people saying they had it, and they talked about sweating a lot. And we saw the Iranian prime minister or whatever was sweating, and then 2 days later, yeah. Is that a symptom that's not being talked about as much?
We have not really seen it as a symptom. I mean, if you have a fever,
You'd be sweating. So fever, it's just associated with the fever.
Yeah, it's associated with the fever.
So if people think for some reason that they have it, what should they do? What locally do you call Columbia Memorial? Do you go to urgent care? What is the best practice?
Well, if you have a provider, then I would certainly contact your provider. Columbia Memorial, the testing for it requires a swab from, you know, the lower part of the respiratory system. So this is not at this point, this is not something that can be tested for at the health department nor in a typical provider's office. You would end up at the hospital to be tested. What the hospital is looking for, the hospital has a protocol in place. They have negative pressure rooms that people end up in if there's a suspect case. They should call us. If someone thinks that they meet the criteria, they have a travel history.
You should call the
health department.
And what's the number to call?
828-3358. And they should call the health department because the hospital wants to know ahead of time if somebody's coming in. And the best way for that to happen is for us to coordinate it.
And has the hospital has the hospital started doing tests yet here in Columbia County?
The hospital hasn't tested anyone as of yet. And again, what we don't know is a little unclear at this point. We did have our vice president say last night that anybody who wants to be tested should be tested. At the same time, there's still this criteria from the CDC that holds sway over everything, and that is you have a fever and a travel history. They've obviously expanded it beyond China to cover. Some of the other countries that is endemic in now, but you have to get approval to get tested, and that could very well change in the next couple of days.
The governor is saying they're trying to get up to 1,000 tests a day, and so far they've been getting like under 100 tests a day in the state, I think, right?
Right, and I think that's because they're still using the protocol, fever and a travel history, or contact with someone who's already positive.
So the state has the ability to do more tests, but the standards right now are not to do so many tests.
Not to do so many tests, correct. And I think that what I listened to the governor's press conference, and he said, I would like to be able to do up to 1,000, and I think that he certainly wants to test everybody who thinks that they're appropriate to be tested and everybody who meets the criteria.
Is it already a problem, or are you concerned that it's going to be a problem in the future, that more people are going to want tests and think they're sick, and you're going to be kind of overwhelmed with requests that aren't really that pertinent.
Well, there's been a tick up for us in terms of people calling saying, should I be tested for this? I traveled or I didn't travel. We had a gentleman yesterday who said I spent 2 weeks in the Bronx. Well, that's not a foreign country that we're worried about right now, but he nonetheless had a pretty heavy cold or the flu. So, I think it's not a problem. I think that as the word gets out there that the testing may expand the criteria, I think more people are going to want to get tested.
Are you going to need more staff in your office as this ramps up and as there's cases in Columbia County of the actual virus?
Well, I don't think we're going to need more staff, again, because if we're going to be sort of the focal point for presenting to the hospital, I think the hospital could
have issues. The hospital will need more staff.
They have four negative pressure rooms up there. That's where people who have an infectious disease would naturally be put in. And if there is a dramatic increase in the criteria, a dramatic change in the criteria where many more people are testable, it could be a problem for the hospital.
Are you coordinating preparation with the hospital?
The hospital has its own. They have their own plan. That's already been in place. We've always had these plans in place for pandemic flu, and so we're really looking at this as the same.
You went through sort of in 2014. There was the was it MERS then?
We had MERS, and which is much more lethal virus out there. And we've had SARS in the past, and H1N1 that was sort of a pandemic that wasn't back. I'm not sure of the date on that, but so
you've got to this preparation point before, but you're starting to get to a new land where you've never been before, where it's happening locally.
Well, we've always had the plan in place for pandemic flu, and that just addresses a lot of social distancing and non-pharmaceutical interventions that we can do, and the plan is applicable here. What we have here is a coronavirus that maybe a little bit a successful virus, as the doctor I spoke to earlier today suggests. It's a successful virus. It's moved into 73 countries.
The main difference is that it's a little more lethal and it's a little more successful at spreading?
It's a little bit more lethal if you look at the numbers. I don't necessarily always trust the numbers coming out of China. I mean, the biggest number of cases still remains China. And so when you do the math on it, flu is less than 1% lethal. And this, the WHO has it at 3.4%. CDC did 2.something%.
The same with the Iranian numbers don't make sense either. There's way more fatalities than there are cases reported, and that there's probably some lag or misinformation there.
I think so, and I think if it may settle out at closer to the 2%, but 2% is a whole lot more than the flu is, and by way of comparison, MERS was 4% fatality. So, it's a little bit more potent than the flu. The flu on steroids, one doctor quoted in an interview that I was watching. But nonetheless, 80% of the population is going to get it and may not have symptoms at all. That's one of the things that concerns me, people walking around who are positive who don't have symptoms because they go about their business.
But they're going to be spreading the illness to people that are susceptible to it.
They could very well be because we don't know what the incubation period is. It's a brand new thing. We don't know what the incubation period is.
But there's nothing you can do about that because they don't know that they have it, and there's no way to tell. So,
and or if they even have minor symptoms or symptoms that you would equate with a cold like you had, they may go about their business, and they go about their business, and they may, in fact, be positive.
So there's no. It's almost inevitable that 80% of the country is going to have this by the time the next year rolls around.
No, I don't think so. And I asked that question several times of our infectious control doctor, and he said, there's no way of predicting this. And he, in fact, said, I thought this would be over. Didn't think it would get out of China. I thought it would be over before March 1st. And he said, this is a successful virus, but I can't predict that it would. There's also talk about the warm weather and the effect on coronaviruses in warm weather here. And they don't do well in warm weather. But
the 1918, they went away in warm weather, and then in October it came back and killed a couple hundred thousand people, right?
Right. And also, it's warm weather for us. It's not warm weather for Australia and the Southern Hemisphere, and it's already there, too. So it could easily spread within that country, become pretty much endemic, and then once our flu season starts, once the cold weather happens again here, it could come back. It's just not all that predictable.
But that's probably why there's very few cases in South America right now, and it's because it's summer there.
Right.
What is it that people, do you recommend people should do? Should you change anything you're doing in your normal life? What are you recommending for people in Columbia County to
They can take?
Wash your hands.
I think it's keep your hands away from your face, but I think it's really about mitigation, personal mitigation on this part. If you become ill, certainly if you have a travel history, if you've just gotten back from someplace that has the virus in place and you become ill, talk to your provider.
So Westchester County now is one of those places.
Yeah, so like another nation, right? And again, the concern there is that he was taking public transportation and attending public events, and so in the coming days, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. But I think you have to take the same precautions that you would take with the flu. Wash your hands.
Because they haven't proved any sort of transmission except for touching your face or being sneezed upon by someone else?
Between droplets is if you get sneezed upon. Airborne is just being in the same space with somebody who has it. And the CDC is now saying maybe it's airborne.
They don't know exactly, but it could possibly be airborne, so that if you're just in the same room with someone.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing not touching your face isn't going to help you in that situation.
Right. Or surface. And what we also don't know is how long this particular virus lasts on surfaces. So, somebody with the virus who's positive is walking down an aisle in a supermarket and sneezes without covering themselves. And there's droplets in the air. There's a mist that comes out. Well, if it's airborne and you walk through that mist an hour later, you might acquire the virus because of that. It's possible, but we don't know.
So we have a public place here, radio station with lots of people coming in and out. Other people have stores or shops, nonprofit organizations. So here at the radio station, should we be rubbing everything down with rubbing alcohol or a certain alcohol content every day? Because isn't that what they're doing in the subways now? Or
I think they're doing that on some of the mass transit. And certainly, I would go back and say, do what you do for the flu. If you had a guest that came in here and who was really clearly sick and didn't want to stay home and still wanted to do the interview with you, then I would wipe everything down after they left, for sure. And I would wash my hands. But, going about, it may be here. It may be, somewhere in the county with an individual here. We have the third busiest Amtrak station here right in Hudson, people coming back and forth or whatever like that. It could come into the county or it might not. And I think the precautions you should take are those that you take for the flu.
And so local shelves have already been cleared of masks. I think canned food, people said, were starting to be rarely seen. And is there anything that people should buy now ahead of it landing in Columbia County or anything you recommend? Because the masks don't really work, right?
The masks don't work. What most folks in the business would say is the mask protects other people from your germs. So if you feel you're infectious, what does your doctor do? There's a sign up when you go to see your doctor. If you have symptoms of the flu, please wear a mask. They're not there to try to protect you from them. They want you to protect them from you. So if you have the flu or if you have flu-like symptoms and you're going to go out, wear a mask for the safety of the rest of the public. But the masks don't work to protect.
But mostly you should stay home if you got sick.
If you're sick, if
at all possible. Is there nothing else you recommend to purchase or prepare at home?
Well, I think most people, have a certain amount of food in their house that will, last 3 days. It's wintertime if we get a snowstorm or whatever like that. But no, we're certainly. I wouldn't stockpile Purell. I guess you can't really get it now.
Right, that's another thing.
On the internet, I guess it's $140 a gallon or something like that, which is ridiculous. I don't think you should stockpile anything right now. And again, this thing could just sort of die out as a warmer weather comes or not.
If it gets worse here, what is the situation? Are people going to be told to stay in their houses? Potentially, or is it going to be mandatory you have to stay in your houses?
I don't think it'll ever rise to that level. But, one of the things that we've been contacted by the schools, for instance, in the county, the school is a mass gathering place, if you will. Churches are a mass gathering place.
But, and a mass gathering place for germs, because right. a lot of the people in schools aren't so good about not touching their faces or touching surfaces.
And sneezing into their elbows.
Right.
And they just let it go. So we've been contacted by the schools, and just to get some preliminary information about, you know, what happens if, you know, a significant number of children are out, what if a significant number of staff are out and whatever like that. And that's the kind of planning that they should do anyways. And, you know, we've had schools that closed because of the flu in the past. You know, of course, in Westchester County, they closed a couple of schools just because of the coronavirus.
But I think an Albany County school, 2 weeks ago, closed on a Friday because so many students were out with the flu. So it's not that strange.
It happens.
But you don't foresee it there being some sort of China-like lockdown where everyone is, I don't know if it's mandatory there, but you've seen the scenes on TV of no one on the street.
No, I don't foresee it. You know, again, if this was Ebola, I mean, Ebola had a 50% death rate once you got it. Again, this is something that the individuals who are most seriously affected by it are the elderly. This is like the flu. The elderly and people with comorbidities, and so I don't see this mandatory lockdown, you know, everybody off the streets kind of thing, and I don't see us necessarily ever in the future telling any school that they should shut down. It's going to be a conversation about maybe it's a good idea to do that, and just to get that break in there and go through and clean it.
It seems like almost all the deaths have been either someone who is very old or in some sort of respiratory condition to begin with.
Yeah, that's pretty much accurate. And the interesting thing is today we read an article that it's really not affecting children.
Young, that's what I've read. I was going to ask my next question. Yes, the young people are really not. So the schools may not be as much of a vector for this particular strain as other strains, since we all know how schools are vectors for colds and flus.
Well, and to some degree, there's a certain immunity that comes from just being exposed to that giant amount of coronaviruses, different coronaviruses that come into their lives. They readily spread it to each other. So,
Is there anything else that you want to tell the public about this, or something they should do, or that they need to know about this?
Well, I think it's a time where they just need to pay heightened attention to what's going on, because this situation is so fluid. We do get phone calls from people who say, well, I'm going to go to Bermuda next week. Should I go? I'm going to France in May. Should I go? I think that's a positive thing. They're thinking about it. They're paying attention. But I can't tell that person who's going to France in May, don't go or go, because I don't know what France is going to be like in 2 months. So I think that people need to pay attention to that. They need to pay attention to, especially with New York City, and we now have some cases down there, you know, what happens with those numbers. They pay attention to that. And at the same time, practice those basic steps of washing their hands and, you know, avoiding individuals who are sick, or staying home if you're sick.
And it's all right to eat Chinese food and drink Corona beers, right? Because there's been polls that say 30% of the country doesn't want to drink Corona beer.
I did hear that. I think that's crazy. And there's we've had a few phone calls from people who said, can I receive packages from China?
Right.
It doesn't live. We know that the virus doesn't live that long on the surface, on a dry surface.
So the only way you could catch it is from someone being in the room with you, or leaving behind something in the room that you've been in.
Yes, that's what we know now.
You can't, if somebody sneezed in the box in China before it was shipped.
Yeah,
Well, the shipping is that something that people should be worried about? I've read that if the chain gets disrupted because of the virus, it might be difficult to get certain prescriptions.
Well, that certainly could be possible. You know, a lot of our medications do come out of China, although the factories have started to reopen in this past week.
So that's good news. But you shouldn't maybe get an extra, I don't know if you're allowed to even get ahead on your medicine, but there's nothing you can you recommend in that regard.
Well, I think that you should stay up on your scripts, and you should make sure you get your medicines refilled as timely a way as you can. I have not yet heard about a disruption in prescription medications because of that. But I shouldn't say that. I think we did hear that if some of the factories in China stayed closed for a prolonged period of time.
It could be a problem.
It could be a problem.
It is not a problem yet.
What we're hearing now is those factories are in fact reopening.
And this, and is that that seems like a good sign if where it was worse and where it started is starting to get better? Is that what the information seems to be now?
Well, and again, it's always hard to trust the numbers coming out of China, but the incidence is dropping in China. I think that they have a handle on it, and I think it's dropping. And, you know, we've seen the videos on TV of them washing everything and, you know, scrubbing everything and whatever. And the fact that they are, it would be incredibly embarrassing for them if they returned to production and all of a sudden there was a giant resurgence in the illness. And so I think they would have a pretty good handle on it. But again, we're watching that too. We're just seeing what's happening with it.
And is there anything else you would wish, I guess the state, voted for $40 more million the other night. The federal government supposedly today has reached a deal for I think a couple $1 billion at least at this problem. Is there anything else specifically that you need or wish was being done with some government agency or the feds or the state?
Well, I think that they need this. I think they've solved this problem with the test. You know, the test was coming up with some false positives. So it wasn't accurate, and I think they've solved that problem. They need to get that out there now. I think that they need to, I think the CDC will certainly, you had the woman in Seattle that they kept refusing to test because she didn't have a travel history, and then when they finally did, she was positive. I think that they need to look at those guidelines. I don't think that they should blanket test everybody that wants to be tested, but I think that they can change those guidelines and make more, and as more tests are done, we're going to get more people. We're going to get more positives.
Right, because more people in the country have it than we know about. It's almost 100%, right?
I think that's pretty, especially in the whole situation in Washington State is really interesting because
they don't know where it came from.
It was community acquired, it was being passed around, and they were only testing a few people, and all of a sudden they realized it's right here, right now. I mean, some gentleman, I forget what state it was, North Carolina or whatever, traveled out there to visit a relative and brought it back. You know, so clearly it's in the community out there.
Right. If you bring it back, you're on a plane and not everyone's going to your destination. They're going to several other airports.
That's the scary stuff about this. Yeah.
And it's hard to keep track of all those dominoes as you pass through. And where did you get a sandwich? And where did you stop and get a newspaper or a magazine? A lot of ifs. So anything else anybody needs to know? We've been talking to Jack Mabb, the director of public health for Columbia County.
Yes, indeed.
Anything else that?
Well, I'll restate. You know, just use your basic common sense. Don't panic. Don't necessarily change your plans. If you're traveling, you know, pay attention to what's going on, where you're traveling to, and wash your hands and wash your hands and wash your hands.
So maybe just step up to the level of where, like, if your child comes home from school and says, "Oh, everybody was sick at school today," you might have a little like higher level of, make sure you wash your hands. You know, extra, make sure you wash your hands at school extra.
And, absolutely.
So it's kind of that situation where, there's the flu going, you know, three of your friends have the flu or a cold, you get a little more alert about it.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much for telling the people of Columbia County what is going on with this COVID-19 or coronavirus.